Chapter 15. Lee Malone and Dev Bilaniuk waited with Stella Welch and Roberta Golding outside the fence of the Gap Space facility. Under the thinly clouded sky of a June day in this remote copy of Northwest England, their luggage was heaped up in the dirt. A twain was approaching, a dot on the horizon, quickly growing in Dev's vision. It looked small, its grey envelope unmarked save for splashes of solar cell panelling, its gondola plain and cramped-looking. Such craft had been plying the long earth for 40 years. It was a mundane sight. And yet this ordinary craft represented something extraordinary. For the twain was going to take Dev and Lee to the Grange, the home of the next, where they were to consult on a project inspired by a message from the sky. "You know," Dev murmured to Lee, "before I ever crossed to the gap, I was able to imagine how it would be there. A hole in the long earth, a step into space, exotic but comprehensible. Whereas now, with this Grange, I've literally no idea what we're walking into. But I suppose if we could imagine what the next get up to, there'd be no point to them."
"I wonder why the twain's flying in," Lee murmured, sounding practical.
"Huh?
I mean, why not step into the air right above us?"
"No doubt there's a good reason," Dev said, "which we're too dumb to understand." He glanced over at Stella and Roberta, who stood waiting patiently in their modest coveralls. "It is frustrating being members of a sub-race, isn't it?" Lee grinned.
"I don't know. It's fun trying to second-guess them."
The twain descended with a hum of smooth-running turbines, and a stair let itself down from the side of the gondola. A man clambered down briskly. Tall, thin, aged maybe 40, he wore a peculiar garment that was basically khaki shorts with wide braces. The shorts were quilted with pockets, and tools of various kinds dangled from fabric loops. Otherwise, his chest and arms were bare, as were his skinny legs, and Dev was gratified to see him shiver in the coastal breeze, brisk, even though this was June. Lee was still grinning.
"Also, the next have truly awful dress sense."
"I heard that," said Stella, who looked as if she was suppressing a smile herself. "Unlike you vain creatures, we choose practicality over looks. This man is called Jules Van Herp. He lives at the Grange, but we asked for his help today because..."
"I'm one of you,"
Jules said immediately, with his own grin wide and nervous. He shook hands with each of them.
"Not a next. I mean, what does that make me? A before. Come on, grab your luggage and climb aboard the twain. Let's get out of this wind and be on our way."
Jules led them up the stair and into the gondola, and the twain closed up behind them. The turbines hummed, and Dev felt a surge as the ship immediately began to move through the air. While Stella and Roberta went on elsewhere, Jules led Lee and Dev along a smooth-walled corridor into a small, windowless cabin. Jules shut the door behind the three of them and fussed around, pressing panels to make seats fold out and opening a cupboard containing drinks and snack food.
"Take a seat. Help yourself."
As they put down their luggage, Dev and Lee exchanged wary glances. Dev ran his hand over the smooth, featureless grey walls.
"No windows. What's this material? Some kind of ceramic? And if I tried this door?"
"I wouldn't advise it. Look, try to make yourselves comfortable. The trip's going to be short, but..."
There was a sensation like a plummeting fall, almost as if they'd crossed over into the gravity-free realm of the gap, and a sense of deep, shuddering cold. Jules grinned.
"There's going to be a lot of that."
Dev grabbed the back of a seat reflexively. He saw that Lee was shivering. She said,
"That was like no step I ever took."
"It might have been a soft place. I've heard of them. Like long earth wormholes, fixed tunnels from one world to another. It's like they sapped the energy out of you, so I hear. In which case, we could already be anywhere, geographically and stepwise."
Lee glanced around at the blank walls.
"Stella and Roberta are in some kind of observation lounge, I bet, while we can't see a damn thing."
There was another gulping, swooping fall.
Dev felt deeply nauseous, but tried not to show it.
Shit, Lee said. That hurts. Like a punch in the gut.
And another shuddering transition. Jules said,
You'd better sit down.
Lee and Dev fumbled for seats. Lee looked at Jules.
Why do the Nex keep the location of this Granger of theirs secret in the first place?
Wouldn't you? There has been at least one military project semi-officially endorsed and almost carried through to exterminate them. You do understand why you're being brought in?
Lee, white-faced, shrugged. They want to discuss how to respond to the invitation. Of which much more detail had already been received via the Clark telescope, the huge sea urchin design being rushed through its construction in the gap, using the next almost magical molecular-level replication and assembly technology. Lee went on,
And since we too have been involved with the gap end of the project from the beginning,
your point of view will be useful, Jules said. The next like to consult well-informed dimbulbs on projects that are likely to affect them, which is clearly the case here.
He eyed them. You'd better get used to that phrase, by the way, dimbulbs. At the Grange, they use it without thinking. They don't mean any harm. Dev and Lee just stared back at him.
They'll listen to you, Jules went on. They won't necessarily do anything you recommend directly, but they will take what you say into account as they formulate a wider judgment about what's best. If you want my opinion, being there physically is the main thing, actually, even if they don't listen to a word you say, so that you become lodged in their thinking as they consider other factors. Just by standing there, you're a reminder that humans exist. Listen, you're going to see a lot, hear a lot, that will probably shock you, baffle you even.
He glanced down at himself.
Believe me, the way they dress isn't the half of it.
Just let it wash over you. As for me, think of me as a native guide, or an interpreter.
Dev stared at him.
You're a normal human, right? Living among the next. You haven't said a word about yourself. Have you a career, a family? Why do you live this way?
With every day a constant humiliation, he thought, but he didn't express that out loud. Jules' eyes shone.
You'll see. Or you will if you've got the imagination and can put aside your own petty pride.
You're dazzled, Lee said neutrally. I heard that people can get that way around the next.
But they are dazzling.
Jules plucked at his neck-styled clothing and grinned nervously, looking around the room as if, Dev thought, he suspected he was being watched by masters he was desperate to please. Dev looked at Lee and saw something like pity on her face. Pity for Jules. Dev felt only revulsion. He wasn't going to lose himself in awe of the next, whatever he saw at this Grange. He was positive about that. Another sickening, lurching, chilling fall. Lee asked plaintively,
Are we there yet?